This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start off every day and every hour by saying,
hey, man,
hope you had a great weekend. I certainly did. You know, it's funny. I get to the studio today and everybody's asking, hey, did you win any money? Did you bring back some money? Yes, I did. I didn't bring back enough money, Mike. I mean, if I did, I wouldn't be here today. I would have called you and said, I quit. But I didn't do that. I'm here because I made a little money. I came back with more than what I went with. So I'm happy about it. Great trip. I'll fill you in on a few things. And Mike, we got to talk about one of the things that happened to me while I was there, and I got to tell you, I would have never guessed that this would have played out the way it did. But what if I told you that I almost lost a $1,000 ticket?
Oh, man.
I will explain
later
in the show.
They always say to take a photo of it.
Well,
whoever remembers to do that?
No, and here's the other thing, and I know what you guys are going to say, Duke, they got all the apps out there. Yes, we were on the app, silly,
right.
Okay? That was part of it. But I am also old school because when you do the apps, what happens is wherever you take the money from, they deposit that money back to you, and they charge you money, by the way, if you put it on a credit card, if you're not familiar with this. So let's just say you use your debit card, and you win, oh, I don't know, $10. $10 then goes into your debit card. You still have to get it back on the card and then withdraw it.
Right.
I'm old school, Mike. I just paid you a bet. When I win, I want my cash.
Right.
I want my money right now.
Without a handling fee.
Correct. With no extras.
Right.
So I'll tell you about that, man. What has been going on, bro? I feel like, you know, I was gone for about 3 days there at the end of last week, and it feels like a lot of stuff happened.
Yeah, I mean, the Ian Anderson ship has sailed. We'll get give you a chance to get caught up on everything, get your take, of course. But, you know, Georgia, mine was Randon Raven. Like, we should have had Pitino, too. And granted, Pitino goes one game further than Georgia. I would love to know what that vibe is in Vegas when that game was playing
nuts.
Out. But
And by the way, that was the game that the ticket.
Yes.
I had bet Arkansas. I will tell you that now. But I will tell you the story. Absolutely crazy, but go ahead.
No, and you know, I was joking around with Chris and the listeners, and save for two or three guys, I just don't think anyone cares about Georgia basketball. Like, is Pat, you know, it is the ultimate chicken and the egg. If you could ever get things cooking, like if you're an Alabama fan and you live in Birmingham, you might drive down to Tuscaloosa to watch Nate Oates' guys.
Sure.
How many folks are going to go up to Stegman? You know, State goes, his daughter's going there. But how many folks are going to make the trip to watch Georgia basketball unless you start consistently winning? And what does it mean if you win, you go to the tournament for the first time in 10 years, and you get embarrassed? And then and then you lose probably, you know, Asa Newell. What's your team look? You have no idea what your team looks like next year. So that's why I was like, what a great big nothing it was. And now I just feel like you're spinning your wheels. Hope that, you know, Dame gets things cooking with Georgia Tech. I was just kind of ranting about the sad state of affairs for, you know, local hoops.
Well, 7 SEC teams are now in the Sweet 16, and we know we're hosting here in Atlanta in the South region. It's going to be great. Auburn, Ole Miss, Michigan State. It's going to be, and they travel, by the way. All those schools will be here. But to your point about Georgia, and look, I was saying before last week, I thought they had a really good chance. Like, this was a chance to maybe show up in a spot that nobody really expected them to. Mike, that game started, and I got to tell you, I ran into about, I don't know, 7 or 8 dog fans while I was out there. And how do I know that? Because everybody's repping their schools. So they had dog gear on, and they'd walk by, and you go, go Dogs! And they'd be like, go Dogs! You think we're going to win? I don't know. You think we got a chance? I don't know. But they were flat. They didn't show up. It was ugly, and you said it. They got beat down in that game, and it looked like they didn't belong, to be quite honest with you. And again, these first games, you just don't know what you're going to get. I said this to you, you know, last week. You got kids waking up early, the travel, the time changes, all that stuff. You just don't know what you're going to get. But I thought Georgia should have played better than what they did. But I do know this, the SEC, and I've been saying, I still think they're going to walk away with the trophy, guys. I think an SEC team is going to be the team standing last. And when you've got seven teams in the Sweet 16, the odds are in their favor. The one thing we don't have is, where are the Cinderellas this year, Mike? Right. There are none.
But does it matter? Because I just saw an article that we were talking about yesterday. Stephen A., they did one of their typical zero-sum arguments.
You know, quite frankly,
the tournament is dead. No, the ratings are great. An article just came out. They had a monster number this weekend. So, and look, it just, as I said, the argument I made, do you remember what happened with George Mason? They got embarrassed by Florida. Mm-hmm. People stopped watching at halftime. You know, so it was a good story until it wasn't. You know, Butler never brought home the bacon. So with all due respect to the Valparaisos and McNeeses of the world, nobody gives a crap unless you went there. People want the blue chips. They want the Kentuckys. They want the Dukes. You know, Auburn has become one of those teams. That's who people want to see.
Yeah. What do you guys think, by the way? 404-726-0929. I think it's been a fun and entertaining tournament. Look, I may be a little bit more invested than most. The college basketball certainly changed. And Mike and I talk about this all the time. You know, the fact that you're just now getting to know the Crab Five from Maryland, that should have happened at the beginning of the season, where you've been following these guys and you go, oh, that's a pretty good team. Who's this Derek Queen guy? But now this is when the tournament, and it happens, Mike, and the stars shine, and so you start to get familiar with some of the names. And some of these guys, again, will be playing in the NBA, but for the most part, I think the numbers are good because the teams that we're watching, most college basketball fans and even the fringe fans have some idea of what these teams are about. Listen, I think Duke is way better than I expected, Mike. And they got a really good shot to win it all. And that was with, you know, the injury. And we didn't know what that was going to look like once he came back and played. But Duke is really good, man.
You know, and the other thing is, I always feel that Calipari, if he had just a little bit more X's and O's in the half court, he could probably have two or three more championships. But then you look at what he's put together at Arkansas. And it's funny, because if you watch that documentary I've been watching on Vice, it's been the ultimate work in progress. There was times watching it, you're like, this guy's not going nowhere, you know? And then all of a sudden, it starts to click. And then, you know, I said yesterday to Chris, Louisville, that's old school slip. But St. John's couldn't handle the physicality of that front court.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing I'm just very curious to see how Texas Tech, and you're like, Arkansas is going to have to play some great defense, but I'm buying it. I think Calipari can get there.
I do too. Like I said, I bet them, and all my guys are like, you're crazy, they're going down. And then they were leading in that game, and they end up winning that game, and they have a really good shot against Tech. But I am curious to see what plays out here at State Farm Arena as well. Other things going on, guys, and we got a lot to talk about coming off of a big weekend, obviously, and yesterday I was out. But, Mike, what's going on with the Hawks in this win streak?
Yeah, man, this goes back to, you know, what we've said, beat the inferior opponents. And, by the way, great day for Zachary Sauchet against the Sixers. He was looking great behind the back moves. He took it to the basket, just beautiful. Yeah, now road trip, though. Here's the thing. We're just one game away from being at 500. But can we now go on the road in H-Town? They had this big win streak until the Clippers snapped it. You know, I'm a big fan of Ime Udoka, what job he does with the Rockets. But that'll be a big test for them. It'll be coming up tonight, by the way, right here on 92.9 The Game at 8 o'clock. Chris will have the Bridge Show before the pregame. But can you continue this run, lock in that seven? Look, I don't think you're getting to the Pistons. That is what it is. But just win, have some confidence to build on. And, the bonus would be for over 500 for the season. That's respectable.
I agree. And the Hawks are 16-19 on the road. So they're not a team that's over 500 on the road. And the Rockets are pretty good at home at 26-11. Look, I won't tell you the Rockets are a surprise team. Some people were saying this earlier in the season. I don't think they're a championship caliber team. I don't think they can beat OKC or Denver or maybe even the Lakers in a seven-game series. But they're pretty damn good, Mike. And the thing about tonight is, you're right, can you keep this momentum going and solidify, hey, this is not a fluke. We are getting better as the season goes on. They've gone on these runs, right? Four games, five games.
Right.
Then you lose two or three. Like, I'd like to see them to beat a really good team. The Rockets have been pretty good this year.
It was weird. Like, the Nets game really got me. You know, I was ranting and raving. How do you lose to those Brooklyn Nets? They're terrible.
You were done.
Yeah, and then they smoked the Hornets, and then no Steph Curry, even the Warriors. So what? We're playing with 3/5 of our starting five to begin the season. So, you know, cry me a river. But they beat the Warriors. We talked about the Sixers. But, yeah, this is just, you know, a team that – I do believe, and we see guys like Nying when he's doing his thing, and you know they've got a nice bench. So I know there's a ceiling. I think most Hawks fans know there's a ceiling, but let's see where it goes.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get in the first round, Mike, and if you are able to win a first round series, to me, you've really pulled off something that nobody thought you could this season. I mean, you're right. The 500 is one thing. Like, hey, we're a better team than what you expected us to be, especially after the trade deadline. But if you get into the first round out of the play-in,
right,
and you're able to pull off a first-round upset, because it would be, guys. I mean, as a seventh seed, you're still playing a higher-seeded team. Then that's what we'd be looking for. But we'll talk more about the Hawks as we move along. And then, of course, plenty of Braves conversation. You ready for opening day? I mean, I know they're opening on the road, but, man, It's here Thursday against the Padres. Chris Sale will be on the mound. Obviously, the Braves won't have their home opener until the following week, and we'll be out at Murph's having a good time out there. But, man, I'm so ready now, Mike. It's almost like I've been, you know, just sitting back, kind of taking it all in. I know they traded Ian Anderson, and I'm sure a lot of Braves fans were responding to that. But, you know, at the end of the day, Mike, he wasn't good enough.
Nope, and he knew it. And unfortunately, after a really good outing, the walks. And we've got the soundbite. We'll play it for you later in the show. I heard it today on Steakhouse and Andy Randy. But Brian Snicker, being about as honest and brutally honest about him, because he loves him, what he meant to the World Series run, his clutch. Remember, he was thrown into that pennant race as a really young player and then just could not get the traction. After the injury, and they gave him every opportunity. They couldn't bring him back to the minors. They didn't want to DFA him. So he goes, look, he can play for the Angels. They're terrible.
They are.
So he'll have a chance to maybe reclaim a spot in the bigs.
Yeah, they are. I mean, Ron Washington, unfortunately, probably is going to lose his job at the end of this season. But that's just the nature of it. That team is a long way away from any kind of run at a championship. But Snit had other things to say, including his comments about Drake Baldwin. And also talking about Strider's camp. So we'll hear all of that from Brian Snicker, who was on the Steakhouse. Full interviews online at Odyssey.com. You can check that out, and we'll play that for you a little bit later on. Also today, guys, we got introduced to Leonard Floyd. He went on the Midday Show, I believe, right? It was the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. And, Mike, I heard a little bit of this just from the Falcons press conference because he addressed the media today. And, you know, our boy D-Led was up there. Oh, it's been a while. And he's asking him about coming home to the state of Georgia. And he's a Georgia boy. And he asked him about being a Falcons fan. He said, yeah, man, you know, I was obviously growing up a Falcons fan. And it's kind of cool now to be here playing as a Falcon. But the one thing he said today, guys, is he's going to get to the quarterback on third and long. This is what he's going to do. And he was pretty confident about how he's going to do it. And he was talking about pass rush moves, and he's a much better player than he was a few years ago. And it was interesting. I'm hoping he can help us like this, man.
Yeah, man. I don't think it's a bad play. I mean, we had talked about, you know, if you looked at the resume, Judon had a more impressive resume as far as, you know, Pro Bowls and all pros. But this guy's been a solid piece everywhere he's been in his career. And he knows what he's doing. And I think having an OG around the young guys is cool. So, I mean, look, guys, we had a budget. This was all we could afford. And so that's it. That's what you got. But I think you could have done a lot worse. And now you hope that, as we say every year, if Eba Cady can pop, if everybody else can play and all these guys we haven't seen yet can really show out. No, all right, we'll see. Look, I'm trying to be positive. We're less than 4 weeks away now from the draft.
It's true.
Still mad about Cousins. I want to get your take on this because Kirk Cousins just continues to be like literally.
How many times can he screw us?
He's like Macho Grande. He's like, you think you're over food poison? You got to run back to the toilet. Hold on. Oh God! Because he just continues to be this boomerang effect with us. Now we're not going to get a draft pick for him this year if we can move him.
Well, listen, and I say this, I know it wasn't his intent the first time he screwed us, which was the whole tampering thing, but it still happened. It was on his watch, and now I feel like all through the season to deceive us, and you know, oh, I'm not hurt. That was a lie. And now it's like, okay, I want to get up out of here. I want to be a starter somewhere else. Great, we'll move you today, but I don't want to leave until after the draft. So you're screwing us again.
So that's Kirk Cousins. I mean, he really is, man. The one thing this guy, there's a Hall of Fame for making loot in the NFL. He's the all-timer.
All right, we're going to talk about it. We got a lot to get to, man. 404-726-0929. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell. ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up. See Dukes and the radio show. It's Dukes and Bell 929. Love that you are here. We're going to be out watching games with you Thursday and Friday. Twin Peaks Buckhead and, of course, Twin Peaks Kennesaw on Friday for us. So we invite you guys to make plans and come on out and hang out with us. When we come back, we'll get to the Daily Download next. Drake Baldwin's going to start with the big club. We know that. But I also think, Mike, if this kid hits, which Sean Murphy didn't, all of a sudden, he's got a chance to not only be up here all season long, but I think he's got a chance to maybe play a lot more than people expected. And I'm not going to say, you know, that he's going to take Sean Murphy's job, but I will tell you, if Murphy hits 181 like he did last year, and this kid comes up, Mike, and hits 298, which he did last year in Triple-A, you know, it's going to be hard for Snit to make a decision on putting Murphy in there more than Drake Baldwin. And by the way, Baldwin, you guys know this, right? He's our top prospect. So there are high expectations for him as we get ready for opening day. Again, it's on the road against Padres. Next week, the Braves will be home. But I'm just telling you, like, I'm already getting these questions. Well, how good are we going to be? The Dodgers are stacked. Yes, but that doesn't guarantee they're going to win the chip. And I just think these are the kind of things. You know what you're going to get from Acuna and Harris and Olsen, right? You know what you're getting. If Drake Baldwin hits, Mike, in this lineup,
Right.
That changes things.
Yes, then we can trade Murphy and get Travis d'Arnaud back. And then I'd be happy with that. And then little D can sort of mentor our rookie catcher, and we got a good guy in the clubhouse.
Well, you know, you can always come home and be a Brave. Isn't that right, Jesse Chavez?
Yeah, that's another, like, I talked about it with Grant yesterday. I get it. We all know the blind spot or whatever you want to call it. It's just pitching the way we've operated. This ain't the night shift. This is, I don't even know what to call this. Call it the third shift. This is not great. So, I don't know, man. And Kimbrel, they've all been designated, and we'll see when they get up here. But it's a very uncompelling bullpen to start the season.
Yeah, and the Kimbrel thing, guys, it's a risk-reward, okay? His body failed him, for those who don't know. If it works, great. If it doesn't, we didn't spend a whole lot to go get a guy who, from a nostalgia standpoint, Mike, we all remember how good he was when he was here. But if he can give us just a little bit and his body doesn't break down, and he said he needed a break, he got it, great. But I agree. I'm not. My hopes are not there that Kimbrel's going to be the difference maker. But I do think Drake Baldwin could be. I'm just telling you guys right now. There's some upside to this, and it may end up costing Sean Murphy some playing time. We'll talk more about it here. We're going to let you hear what Brian Snicker had to say about the Ian Anderson trade. Also coming up, we're going to talk with Jason Longshore. Yeah, I was out last weekend, Mike. What happened? With Atlanta United, what happened?
Okay, so the good news is we go to Cincinnati and we scored a goal.
Okay.
And then they scored a goal. And they scored another goal. And then we scored a goal. So we got a draw. But it's kind of like when a draw feels like a win. It was an own goal. But the problem was we had a situation where, once again, our guy scores. I think it was Latte shoots. And somebody else is in our uniform in the open net and deflects it right into the other team's goalkeeper. Brutal. So if you hadn't seen this, it's just we've still got to work on our spacing. We joke around about stay in your lane. I still think that Ronnie Dyla has got to figure out where these guys are supposed to go when they're on the attack. It's kind of crazy.
Okay, so wait. And I'm asking you this, but I guess I got to ask Jason Longshore. How can we be this talented, but yet we're not scoring goals?
And everybody around the country, especially those weenies up in Charlotte who just are so little brother syndrome. Like, how's all that money you spent on your designated players working out? So, yeah, we spent all the loot. Arthur Blank, you can't say that Arthur Blank doesn't put the money into it. But right now, and again, small sample size, but Chris, is the stat, this is the lowest points total through five games. So we've had draws and losses. So there you go. Not good.
All right. Jason's going to join us here in less than 10 minutes. Stay there. We'll ask the analyst who does games with our own Mike Conti about this and try to figure it out. And look, I'm not telling you we're giving up on him or anything like that. It's early in the season. But the fact is, I thought it'd be a little bit more than this offensively, and it's been lackluster. We'll talk to Jason coming up. Hey, behind the glass, our man Oren. By the way, I got to get caught up on everything. Did you get a house yet? You got a house?
Oh, yeah, we covered it yesterday.
Yeah, so.
Coming with 20%. No PMI in his world.
No PMI, 20%.
My man. You've been saving.
Yeah. And then we got the mortgage buy down stuff. Got to get that situated today or tomorrow.
Okay.
Homeowners insurance, get that taken care of.
Yeah.
And closing on the 7th. Monday morning, the 7th.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
That's a great feeling, man.
Thank you.
It really is. And once you sign your life away and you realize I really signed my life away, it's a great feeling.
Yeah, so it's cool. We did that this afternoon, and we found out about baby number 2 this morning. So.
Oh, you know what it is.
Don't know what it is. Just know how big it's going to be.
Now, if it's a boy, I'm hoping Georgia gets him as a defensive tackle.
Yeah. We're going to be a near-tier 10-pounder, Carl.
What?
Yeah.
He's about
5 and change right now, and doing the math at about a half a pound a week at least. We're going to be above 9, close to 10.
Wow.
Yeah. Brittany is not happy.
The doctor said they've never seen a tackling sled inside a uterus before.
Yeah, he's doing work, man. Yeah.
He's already working out.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically he's got a bench press in there. He's got a blocking sled.
All he's doing is working out and sleeping. That's all he's doing. Just working out and resting all day long.
Hey, I love it. That's great, man. Congratulations. Turtle, our executive producer. The crew is back together, man. Let's get to the Daily Download.
Story number 1.
By the way, first house I ever bought, literally, you didn't have to put 20% down. You could say you worked at McDonald's and they were going to give you the house.
Things was much simpler back then, Carl.
I'm just telling you the rigmarole that you go through now.
God.
You feel like it didn't used to be that way. Now, I understand why it was and why it shouldn't have been,
right.
But I'm just telling you, like, literally, how much do you make? I don't know, about $45,000. They go, great, that's enough to get this house.
Well, that's the
thing. It was crazy.
And then you take it back, you're right. If you go back and right before the market crapped out on the whole, like,
08.
The mortgage default swaps were literally, you said it, anyone, I could get them. I owed the IRS like $150,000.
Didn't matter.
At that time, you could get a mortgage.
It didn't matter, I'm telling you. So right. I say that when you said what you just said about, hey, none of that stuff mattered. It was like, oh, what do you do?
Right.
Ah, work the drive-through. You could get this house. It didn't matter. All right, let's talk about the Braves. Mike, you mentioned Ian Anderson. Let's hear Brian Snicker talk about the trade and how honest he was today on the Steakhouse.
That had literally happened in the middle of the game that he was when he was pitching. I sent him inside and we took him out of the game. So you know what? I'm happy for Ian. You know what? It didn't look like he was going to make our club. I love that kid and what he meant to our organization and the person that he is. And he didn't have a great spring. I mean, we probably weren't going to be able to carry him. So I think this was a heck of a lot better than maybe having to set him down, telling you're going to designate him.
Good stuff from Snit.
I mean, being real.
And here's the other thing. This is the kind of stuff that we don't think about, but the Braves at least try to do the right thing by guys, if they can.
Right.
You can't
every opportunity.
Yeah, you can't always do it, Mike, but if you can, he's right. This is better than it's just, hey, Ian, we're going to designate you, man. Good luck. Like, hey, you know what? We're going to give you another opportunity to go somewhere else and pitch. And if you have success, great. You can be in, you know, all the things you want to be. But that's pretty cool by Alex Anthopoulos and I think the Braves front office.
Look, we've had guys, you know, come up through the system, and, you know, Carl's heard me do this rant over and over again. You know, whether it was Fulte or Tuki Toussaint or Sean Newcomb or, you know, Soroka, the injuries with Soroka, unfortunately, the injuries with Ian Anderson just added up. But, you know, from an organization that gave you Glavin and Smoltz and Avery, you know, and later on develop more pitching, it's just crazy how, you know, it's just been a struggle to get these guys to come up and stick. Some of the circumstances, obviously Max Fried, they developed, and the rest is history after getting him in a trade. But this is where you really need, you know, if we're honest, A.J. Smith-Shawver to stick.
Yeah.
And it'd be refreshing if he does. Bryce Elder, well, your guy was an all-star. Then you realize he didn't have all that electric stuff, and then it just they can't seem to get him to find another way to get up there. Right, and stick in the show as well.
Rotation is set. We now know this and what it's going to look like, and it's kind of been laid out as the Braves get the season started on Thursday. But, yeah, good luck to Ian Anderson. But you're right, Mike. I mean, this for him is probably the best-case scenario that he gets to go somewhere, and he'll get a lot of run there. I mean, he'll get a chance to pitch and really prove himself, but he was not good enough to make this club. Meanwhile, Snicker was talking about Drake Baldwin, and I'm just telling you, this kid hits like he did last year, man. He's going to take some time away from – even when Sean Murphy gets back and is healthy, because you can't replace that offense with what Murphy was doing last year. Now, I'm not telling you he's going to do it, but he's already shown you what he's capable of. Here's Snit talking about the kid.
You know, that as a left-handed hitting catcher, you know, Max got to come to mind. I mean, you know, he's kind of advanced where he's at, just like Brian was. And you know, this kid's been very impressive this spring. You know, we're going to start this thing up Thursday and see where it goes. But, man, he's had a nice camp, and he's done a great job with our pitchers. They like throwing to him. The throwing has been really good. I think Eddie's done a great job with him. And, you know, it's just he's a very impressive young man.
Brian McCann, Mike?
Yes. I mean, look, and Brian was great behind the dish. You know, his arm was strong for so many years. I mean, look, nobody's running like we thought they were with the bigger bases anyway. I mean, I'm not sure exactly where Murph's war would stack up with William Contreras, but I'll take a guy who can hit for his living, right?
I would.
I mean, take a guy who can give you some home run power and some average, and that's one thing that he's not. So, I mean, it's basically everyone's conceded. Grant joined us yesterday, and basically, not trying to put words in Grant's mouth, but he kind of said, yeah, you're just going to have to deal with RC and not hitting, but be a good fielding shortstop because they weren't going to spend that money on anybody better.
That's how I feel about it. And again, I'd love to have all-stars at every position. You got to sacrifice.
Right. But the 7-8-9 was when we won the World Series and had the best team in baseball, the 7-8-9 was strong. It wasn't weak.
It was. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
So he had his pro day yesterday. Cam Ward, he threw. Titans were there. They possessed the number one overall pick. What was his message for the Titans?
I say not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm, whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action, you know, gun five with movement outside the pocket, just showing them all, you know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season. Let them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, it was just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at.
Yeah, man, he talked about looking forward and making it sound like it's a done deal with Brian Callahan, because Brian Callahan helped to develop Joe Burrow when he came in as a rookie.
Yeah, look, I and we'll get into this in our 4th-and-1 coming up at 3 o'clock. I know everybody is on Cam as the number one quarterback. I still have Shador as mine, and I still don't know if the Titans are going to pick him number one overall, Mike. I still feel like Abdul Carter is going to be the guy that they end up taking to improve their defense for the next 10 years. And they'll figure out this quarterback thing. But I get it. You're not going to have the number one pick every single year. So if you feel confident about Cam Ward's ability, and I did, I thought the pro day was good. But sometimes, Mike, I think these pro days, man, they're overplayed. I really do.
Well, it is interesting because everybody's looking for, like, that clutch sort of, like, you know, possession receiver. Xavier Restrepo, remember the guy who had so many big plays for the Hurricanes? Guy ran, like, a 4.8 3.40. People are like, wow, do you have, like, weights in his pants? What the hell's going on? So, I mean, yeah, sometimes it can be, you know, the combine gets overblown, but you always generally kill it at your pro day, and he did not. But Cam Ward, look, I will say this. He does have a stronger arm than Shador. That's not a knock on Shador. I think Shador's got the other intangibles. But yeah, it's. I still think it's going to be Cam Ward. You mentioned it. The Browns go something other than that. Maybe they go Travis Hunter, and the Giants do Sanders. And then we'll see. Then we dump Kirk Cousins for a song and get something for the 2026 draft to Cleveland.
Yeah. Let's hope. I mean, at this point, with him dictating the terms again, then I guess we'll just have to wait and see. All right, we're going to talk more about college basketball. John Calipari talking about Arkansas being an underdog, and we'll talk more about what he had to say, because it is interesting that they've gotten to the Sweet 16. He went on the Dan Patrick Show. We're going to let you hear that coming up. Hey, the Daily Download is brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. And coming up, we're going to talk with Jason Longshore. We'll find out what he thinks about what's going on with this offense, or lack thereof, with Atlanta United next. It is Dukes and Bell. Let's talk about what's going on with Atlanta United. Coming up in less than 15 minutes, we'll get back into our NFL conversation, including what the newest Falcon had to say today, as he called himself a smoking gun. Right now, let's talk to Jason Longshore.
Where's the smoking gun with Atlanta United, man?
It's a good question. And Jason, I asked this question to Mike, and I was like putting him on the spot, but I was like, wait a minute, I got to ask this to Jason. Okay, so how can we be as talented as we are, but yet we're not seeing the results? And I'm not talking about winning matches. That's included. I'm just simply talking about the scoring prowess that we thought we would have at this point. I know it's 5 matches, but 1-2-2, that's 1 win, 2 losses, 2 draws. Is there a reason that that you can point to that says, hey, here's why we haven't been as potent as we thought we would be?
Chemistry takes time. It's honestly that simple. You know, you can bring guys together who have never played together and they don't know each other on the field. You know, it just takes time. Sometimes chemistry falls into place really quick. Sometimes it doesn't. Scored 2 goals on the weekend. So I think you're starting to see chances be created, better chances be created. I feel like that's improving game after game, which would make sense as chemistry improves. Just converting. Lott's one of the leading scorers in the league. You're not getting as much as it feels like maybe you should. And some of that is down to price tags on players, which can't really control. And some of that's down to you're creating a lot. So you feel like maybe you should be scoring a whole lot. And you're not quite doing that, but it's improving. And you just have to keep working at it and keep working on creating better shots. And I think what I'd like to see more than anything is another scorer start to emerge, or scorers. It doesn't have to be one person. But Lotte Lott is holding up his end of the bargain. You want to see more goals coming from some different places as the attack continues to gel.
Yeah, I was telling Carl from the highlights in Cincinnati, it just seemed like, Jason, the spacing again. I mean, or unless maybe that was the design, but we have a shot on goal which gets deflected by our own player, you know, right to their keeper. I mean, I know that we talked about just trying to – I know there's lanes, as it were, and like,
yeah, that's
for instance –
a super specific situation. Yeah. I wouldn't draw too much into that one specifically.
But do you still feel, though, there's got to be better – just simply better communication when it comes with experience?
No, it comes with time, though. I mean, you know, everybody's got tendencies. Everybody who plays, because just from a very broad sense in in soccer team and tactical construction. You need a defense to be very organized, and you can coach that, and you can work on you're here, you're there, you stand here. When I take this step, you take that step. And that's a very coachable element. Scoring goals is the hardest thing to do in the game, and creating opportunities is probably the second hardest thing to do in the game. And it's not something that is easily done through patterns, through, you know, if you take these two dribbles to the right, then I'm going to take two steps to the left. You can't really do that. So you've got to get to the sense that when Saba is on the ball and he looks up, he knows what kind of run that Latte Lott is going to make, and then can have the quality to deliver the pass to him. That's just two people. Then you bring a third person in like Miguel Almiron. Then you bring a fourth person in like Alexei Moranchuk. Then you've got your fullbacks. That's a lot of stuff that you have to get in sync. Now, I do think that the spacing has gotten a lot better with Brooks Lennon and with Pedro Amador in the group, because at a minimum, what's happening is with those two guys wide, if the rest of the group is kind of tight together, which can be really beneficial too, where you can combine and play through traffic and have that short passing that we've seen work at times, when you have Lennon and Amador wide, it stretches a defense. Their fullbacks have to stay wider to deal with the crosses that can come from Lennon and Amador. So it at least pulls things apart to where then if you have Moranchuk, Almiron, Saba, Latte Lott against their two center backs and their two central midfielders, I like 4v4 in that situation. So it's creating matchups, it's creating opportunities, but more than anything, it's where you know instinctually what the players around you are going to do before you see them do it. Then you're a step ahead. Then you're that half second ahead with a pass that typically makes all the difference.
Do you think Ronnie Dalla's message is getting through? He said he was pleased with the fact that they had a draw, and then explained why, and I get it from where he's at, but the message of what he's hoping to get from these guys, do you think that's getting through to them?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're seeing better and better play each week. And look, you got to be realistic going into this one in Cincinnati. You had five center backs called up to national team duty across your first team and your reserve team. You typically don't have five center backs that can play at the first team level, period. They were all gone. Matt Edwards came in and did a good job at center back. He's been a fullback most of the season. Central midfield was the other spot. You were missing two guys, and then you lose Tristan Muyamba, and you have to drop Alexei Moranchuk to a deeper position. He did the job defensively. You brought on Kamen Togashi in as a 10. Not really a 10. He definitely doesn't play a 10 like Moranchuk, so you have to adjust on the fly. What I liked about the Cincinnati game is you were the better team on the road than the home team. You had more absences than they did. You were much more shorthanded than they were. And you don't like that you lost the lead, but you love that you came back to get something out of it. And don't let anybody tell you that because it's an own goal, it doesn't matter. You created the own goal. If the defender, Alvis Powell, doesn't make a touch there on the cross from Saba Lobjanidze after a really good buildup, Latte Lott's tapping at home for his second goal of the day. So you worked to fix the mistakes that led to losing the lead. I think that gives you momentum. I think that gives you a belief internally that, hey, when things aren't going as well as we would love them to be, we can still fight and get something out of it. I think that kind of performance can be contagious.
Hey, before we cut you loose, Jason Longshore, guys, hear him and Mike Conte, of course, all season long with United right here on the game. U.S. men's national team, you know, we got the World Cup coming here in a year, and it just seems like we're going backwards. I know Pochettino is trying to be positive with this, but that was pretty awful.
I'm glad you asked me this last, because I probably would have ranted for about 10 minutes on this one. It's frustrating because it's not about Pochettino, just like it wasn't about Berhalter. Sometimes the coach gets too much blame thrown at them.
Jason, are our guys soft? I'm sorry to cut you off. Are our guys just soft?
I wouldn't say soft. There's a difference. Like, these guys want to win. You know, I think Christian Pulisic didn't have a great couple of games, but I'm never going to call him soft in that moment. Same with Weston McKennie, same with Tyler Adams. And Adams had a bad second half against Canada. He didn't play well, and he's one of your most important players. I think there's a different level to it that you see from a Panama, for example, who knows they're undermanned. And they're going to have to make up that difference with togetherness and with fighting above and beyond. Canada had that same energy in this game because of a lot of reasons. Canada has been the little brother to the U.S. in a lot of different ways on the soccer pitch. Well, not anymore. I think it's you're in this really tricky spot with the U.S. men's national team where you are good enough to make a team like Panama decide we're going to sit back and play a 5-4-1 and just defend and hope that we get lucky on a counter. And they did. But you're not good enough to have a team that is even strength with you be afraid of you either. And Canada wasn't afraid, and Mexico wouldn't be afraid. And I don't know then the other side of that where you're not better than Argentina. You're not on the same level as Argentina or Brazil or England or some of those teams that you'll probably see in the World Cup. How can this group handle being that underdog? Can they find that next level of scrappiness, of grittiness, of being able to defend in tight spaces and take advantage of your one opportunity? I'll tell you what I did learn about this group in this tournament. Diego Luna needs to be on the field as much as possible. That kid's got something different. He's got that street ball element to him where it might not look pretty. There were people who said he looked like he was out of shape. I don't care. He's effective. He's not out of shape. He's just that's his body type. He is effective. And you need those kinds of guys. And I thought you saw people respond to the way that he played. I thought you saw Patrick Adjumon really cement himself right now as the number nine for this team. He's a big monster up top. And when things aren't going well, you can send a long ball up to him and let him go fight and knock guys over. You've got to find things like that in these games now for Pochettino where might not be about style, might not be about tactics. It's going to be about winning individual battles. And can you do that with this group? You've got to find the guys who are able and willing to do it. And I think you might need to change up the personnel a little bit more. And that means some MLS guys get into the team and play really well, like Diego Luna and Patrick Adjumon. Cool. It's not about the club that you're playing at. It's about the performance that you give in that shirt. And over the two games, it wasn't good enough from the U.S. men's national team.
Atlanta United's next match, NYCFC, Saturday. Pre-game at 6:30, kicks at 7:30. Right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And Jason, as always, we appreciate you stopping by, and we'll see what happens against the next opponent here on Saturday. Look forward to talking with you, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me. We'll catch up next week.
Absolutely.
Cool. Yeah, we're talking about CONCACAF, and you know, Mexico beats Panama, but USA just, you know, we're supposed to be building momentum.
Laid an egg.
World Cup, that's what we're referring to, guys, and it just ain't good.
Yeah, and it's so early. I mean, you get a sense of what the team's going to look like. Obviously, there'll be some changes, but do you feel like we're going to compete in a World Cup that is in the Northern Hemisphere, Mike, where, you know, you're going to get a chance to have as much fanfare about your team? You know, I mean, I know people travel worldwide for World Cup. I get that. But to have it in your home country, you know, I'm hoping that we can put together a team that really can make some noise. I'm not going to tell you we'd win it, but it would be great if we could really make some noise.
And a lot of guys are saying, I mean, we follow Alexi Lalas and stuff. We have him on the show. We'll get him on from time to time. But, yeah, a lot of guys that are really big hardcore soccer fans, you know, that we have here in town, just felt like the pride wasn't showing. And that's why I asked about being soft, because a lot of guys have commented, where's that killer instinct that you see in other parts of the world?
Yeah, and it's gonna have to be there if we're going to do anything in World Cup. All right, coming up, Leonard Floyd got introduced today. His introductory press conference as a Falcon up at Flower Branch.
Loaded gun?
Smoking gun.
Would you rather have him be a loaded gun?
He said, I would like to say I'm a smoking gun.
Yeah.
You feel me? That's
yeah.
what he said to reporters.
I feel
and,
you.
And he says, then I got to go out and prove it and show that. All right, we're going to talk about 32-year-old.
Mr. Floyd, what caliber would that gun be?
32-year-old edge rusher. It's a one-year deal, but he's familiar with Ross system and Jeff Ulbrich, who's calling the defenses, Mike. I mean, they know what they want to do with him. We'll talk about him and much more coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.